There's certain benefits to being the first speaker. There are also certain pitfalls for the first speaker. I have to tell you, can I make a confession in just starting out here tonight? I don't like to be the first speaker. And it's happening to me way too often. And yeah. But I really am excited about what God is doing and the time that we're living in and some of the things that, you know, I've been in this move ever since I was 19 years old, and that's been like 43 or 4 years ago. And I'm more excited now about what I see God doing. I'm not concerned about the fact that there's not as many numbers and different things because God is doing a finishing work. And I think the clarity that's coming to us in His Word is tremendous, and I find myself standing in awe at some of the truths that we have tripped over in the past decade, some of the things that God has spoken and said concerning you and I. And I don't know how it's going to go tonight, but I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who the promise of the Father, who Jesus said would abide with us forever, would be with us tonight. Because really, friends, He's the teacher, isn't He? I'm going to get rid of this because it's a little long. You find the Apostle Paul, and I'm so amazed at the Apostle Paul because here he was, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, and such a pedigree in the upper echelons of Judaism and how God would take him and make him an apostle to the Gentiles. You talk about, you know, here he was, in modern day terms, the Apostle Paul was on a mission of ethnic cleansing, if you will. Destroying the Church of Jesus Christ because he thought that the Jews were God's chosen people. And how can you stop and take a second tonight and consider the amazing work of grace that God would have to do in this man. Amen. To deposit in him the gospel that he did in the book of Ephesians and throughout the New Testament. I love it because he starts out in chapter 1 and he speaks wonderful things, things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. Telling you and I that there were a people that were actually chosen, that were known by God, known by the Father, as our brother was expressing his love to the Lord tonight. Known by the Father before the foundation of the world. Chosen, picked, names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you realize that you've been caught up in a purpose that is greater than any earthly purpose that you could ever be pursue tonight? And I hope that young people that I have your attention tonight, I don't know what you feel like your plans are. Maybe you want to go to university. Maybe you want to be something. Maybe you feel like that you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever it is that you want to be. And that's okay. I'm not preaching against that tonight. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a purpose that exceeds every other purpose that you and I could ever be involved in tonight. And it was determined in the heart of Almighty God before the foundation of the world. And there were a people that were known. People whose names were written before they were ever born. I mean, you can look at Cyrus throughout in the Bible. I think it was like, what was it, 150 years before he was ever born. His book was, Isaiah prophesied about him, that God would call his servant. You look at, who was it, Josiah, was 300 and some odd years before he was ever born. And the prophet prophesied that to an altar that there's going to come forth a king. His name is Josiah, and he will burn the bones of these priests of Baal upon this altar. Before he was ever born, God spoke about him. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know that that's not just true regarding Cyrus. It's not just true regarding Josiah, but it's true about a company of people, a people of nobodies. Amen. That God has called and chosen. He calleth those things that be not. Amen. Why did he choose you? Why did he pick you? Well, the scripture is real plain about that. For you see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble hath God chosen. But God has chosen the weak things. God has chosen the foolish things. That's why He's picked me and you tonight. We wonder, why did He pick me? I must be so... No, He picked you because you were so needy. So that no flesh would glory in His presence. So that... It is of Him that you were in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us. Do you love Him tonight?
Yes.
Who is made unto us wisdom, sanctification, redemption. Every area of your life that you see lack, He is the filler of that lack.
Hallelujah.
Every area in you that you see that is still wanting, He is your all in all. God's not looking for you to measure up. He's looking for you to surrender, to accept His provision, and to let Him, I believe in replacement theology, to replace you with Him. He is your everything tonight. And that's how Paul kicks off Ephesians chapter 1. A people foreknown, predestinated, predetermined. Hallelujah. And you stand in awe of that. And I'm so grateful tonight. I've never been any more happier to be nothing than what I am tonight.
Hallelujah.
And I have enough of a track record with God that I don't need convincing of that. He's done a good job in letting me discover that myself. And has He done that with you? He brings you to the end of yourself. The end of you is the beginning of everlasting life. So there's so much wonderful things in Ephesians chapter 1 that I won't take the time to go. But go with me to chapter 2. And I want to start in verse 11 because I think there's a certain theme that Mike, the Spirit of God has here. And Paul, wherefore remember that you, and please tonight, will you humor me? Will you take this personal? As not just being something that was written in a book thousands of years ago that has no relevance to you. This is God's word to you tonight. Personal. Will you take it personal? Wherefore remember that you and me in times past were Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of God, commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This was your condition and my condition in times past. And Paul says, I want you to remember that you were not a part of the promises. But, don't you love the divine buts in God's word?
Yes, yes.
The turning point. But, now. Can somebody say now?
Now.
What does that mean? I mean, we could get into the concordance here and get real spiritual and Greekish about this, but I think it means now. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Can I tell you tonight that the only thing that makes you acceptable to Him, I don't care, maybe you have a great prayer life, and I hope you do. Maybe you read your Bible three or four chapters a day, and I hope you do. But regardless of how much you pray, and regardless of how much you read your Bible, and the spiritual gymnastics that you go through, there's nothing that will make you clean but the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that will make you give you an entrance into the presence of God but the sacrifice of His Son. God, who slew a lamb from the foundation of the world. And brothers and sisters, can I tell you tonight that when it says that He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, it doesn't just mean historically, that word is in. That the slain lamb is in the very foundation of everything that God is doing, so that the provision was there. It was never subject to failure. It was never off track. There was always a provision in the very foundation of what God was going to do in the lives of His people.
Hallelujah.
And that is your security tonight. Somebody says, you believe in security? Well, I think there's jeopardy too. I think if you play close to cliffs, you have danger of falling off. I don't know about your eternal salvation. I think I feel pretty safe about that. But your place in the first fruits is still questionable. It's depending upon growth. You have that calling. You have that inheritance. It is your birthright. Do you know the Christian Bill of Rights tonight? Do you know what your rights are in Christ? Do you know that to as many as receive Him, He gave the right, He gave the privilege, He gave the authority to become the sons of God. Sons which were born, not created. There's two kinds of sons today. Adam was created. He was a son of God, the Scripture says. But there's a created son and there's one, those that are born. And to as many as receive Him, which were born, not of blood, nor of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
Something happens. And you know something. And because of exceeding great and precious promises, your born again experience is the kickoff into a new life.
Right.
It's a kickoff into something that now you and I, if we will continue to grow. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't grow through striving. They grow through surrender. Yeah. They grow through yielding. They grow through trust. And as you continue to grow, you're made partakers of a divine nature. And you begin to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and all the attributes of divinity are formed in you as you grow in Christ. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made close. You can't believe your feelings sometimes. Sometimes I feel like I'm a million miles away from Him. The accuser who accuses you before your God day and night. You're made close. And tonight, if you can reach out and recognize the intention of God in sending His only Son to die for you, so that the way could be made open, the relationship could be restored. That was His heart. And tonight, my prayer is, be reconciled. Are you enjoying? Are you enjoying your reconciliation? Are you enjoying your redemption? The restoration of the relationship. Are you enjoying? Are you taking advantage of the access that's been given to you by God? To Himself.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about churchianity. I'm talking about knowing this Father. I'm talking about knowing Him. And realizing that His heart is for you. And that before the foundation of the world, that God, who is omniscient, who knows everything about you. The psalmist says, before You wrote, all the days of my life were written in Your book before ever they took shape. God knows. He knew every failure. When He saw you before the foundation of the world, He knew every battle. He knew every failure. He knew every struggle that you would have. And He still picked you. Because He knows that in your life and in mine, He is the difference maker. And He knew. Much better than you and I. It takes a long time to prove to us that we can't make this happen. That you don't have the ability to perform. But when God is working in you, the performance is there. I'm not talking about a lack of performance. I'm talking about God initiated, God inspired, God empowered performance. Works of the Spirit and not of the flesh. So tonight, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you've come into this place and you've hit a wall spiritually and you think that it's over for you. But I'm here to give you good news. You've been made nigh. Not because of your track record, but because of the blood. And you see, rolling in condemnation will never help. It only makes things worse. I want to talk to your heart tonight. Rolling in, you see, apart from Him, you can do nothing. And so the provision is there, so not so that you can continue in sin, but so that you can stay joined to the Lord. It's His blood that keeps you connected. And apart from Him, you can do nothing, but together with Him, you can grow. And I got good news for you. If you grow, you will overcome. you will overcome. Oh, yeah. Stay with me. We're going to get to it. For He is our peace, verse 14, who has made both one. Now, the subject matter here is circumcision and uncircumcision, right? Okay, so what He has done, He is our peace who has made both one, that is circumcision and uncircumcision, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of the two, that is of Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. You know, you can go over to Galatians and you can see, Paul says the same thing, the same theme, he carries it through. Circumcision does not avail anything. Neither does uncircumcision, but a new creature. What God is looking, and that word new, brothers and sisters. Hi, Brother Joe, come on in. Is the Greek word kainos. Look it up in your Strong's. It means unprecedented. Never heard of before. A new kind of creature.
Yeah. Yes.
God is not interested. And so what burdens me is that you got much of the Church of Jesus tonight that have this unhealthy infatuation with Israel after the flesh.
Right.
I like to go to the Holy Land. Well, I mean, that's fine if you want to go to the Holy Land. I want to walk where Jesus walked. Well, brothers and sisters, you can walk where He walked. Actually, He said He wants you to be where He is. He prayed, Father, I pray that those that You have given me, would be where I am. But it doesn't matter. I mean, if you go over there, you're going to find an arid country. But you have the privilege tonight of walking where He walks. And of sitting where He sits. Of being where He is. And so, I hope tonight that you see that it doesn't matter what your natural nationality is, even if it's Jewish. And I hope I'm not stepping on any toes tonight. And if I am, maybe just say ouch. Because There's no nationality, there's no natural. The natural man, the Bible says, does not receive the things of the Spirit. And your nationality, even if it's Jewish, does not mean anything to you. Because God has broken down the middle wall of partition. What He's looking for is not circumcision, it's not uncircumcision. He's looking for a brand new kind of man. The first man was of the earth, earthy. He was a natural man. And as is the earthy, so such are they also that are earthy. The last man is from heaven. Can I tell you that your born again experience has changed your source from being from the earth to being from heaven.
That's right.
To being in the heavenly man.
Amen.
That's your calling. That was your new birth. That's the DNA that's in you now from on high. And if that DNA is allowed to grow up, it will manifest the nature of the one that it came out of. I've said this before, I have a son. I can remember when my son was little. It really tells on how old I am. He could walk under the kitchen table and head about that far without bumping his head. Now he's bigger than me. But there was a time when my son was walking across the farm where we lived, and this sister looked out the window and she could see his back and she saw him walking. She thought it was me. He walks like me. Now, I can promise you, he can't help it. He just walks like me because it's in him. You will walk like the one you came out of.
Hallelujah.
If he knew that he was walking like me, he would have changed it because he wants to be his own man, right? You parents know what I'm talking about. So it's interesting, there are some other scriptures here just in case you're not totally convinced. Colossians 3:10 says this, seeing that you have lie not to one another in chapter 3 and verse 9 of Colossians, you don't have to turn there, I can read it to you if you like and you can look at it later. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new, the kainos man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now listen, where there is neither Greek nor what? Nor Jew. There's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. There's neither barbarian nor Scythian, neither bond nor free, but Christ is all in all.
Right.
It's a new kind of man. I don't care what your nationality is. God has broken down the middle wall of partition between every nationality, and the Israel of God, the Prince of God, is Christ.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He is the new man, and you are members of His body.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Galatians 3:27 and 28. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor he goes on and says it again. Over and over and over. And what amazes me, Brother John, is that this guy who was such a Judaizer, so steeped, so excelled in the Jewish religion, that God would take him and would blind him to everything that he knew.
Hallelujah.
And would pour into him. I think that what happened to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, the light that shone above the brightness of the noonday sun, was the very gospel, unfiltered, that he would preach. The light and the understanding and the revelation, and it blinded him to everything that he had known in the past. And God took him out into an Arabian desert for 3.5 years to filter and to feed back to him everything that he gave to him in a lump sum there on that Damascus road. And he penned 2/3 of the New Testament. It's interesting that in Matthew 21, I'll just throw this in there, Jesus talked to the Jewish nation. Now, I'm not anti-Semitic. Don't get me wrong here, please. I just don't like to see people that think that they are God's chosen people.
Right.
I think that there are Jews that are part of God's chosen people.
Sure.
I do. They're part of it. Jesus said this concerning you and me. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I chose you before you ever knew me. Even more than he did Cyrus. Before Cyrus ever knew him, he chose him. And that he would be the one that would bring the people back to Israel to restore the temple. You are part of the chosen of God, the new man, the Christ man, the God man. Genesis chapter 1. You take your time in your Bible study and you go down through Genesis chapter 1. You're going to find lots of times where God created the beasts of the field after their kind. And this one, after their kind, and after their kind, and after their kind, all the way down through Genesis chapter 1. And then he gets to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and he says, "Let us make man. Let us make him after our kind. In our image, after our likeness." Your destiny is to be a new kind of man. A humanity redeemed. Redeemed humanity. Justified humanity. Seed of Abraham.
Yes.
And yet partakers of the divine nature.
Yes. Okay.
That walking upon this planet today, at different levels of growth, is a new kind of man.
Right.
And what creation is waiting for, is for this new man to grow up. To grow. You are the replacement of the old. But you must grow. I must grow. And we grow by trust. We grow by surrender. We grow by staying under. What maturity looks like is a 33-year-old man that says, "Of myself, I can do nothing." Maturity looks like dependency. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby,
and came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them who were nigh. For through him, we both have access. Oh, friends, are you taking advantage of the access that you have?
Amen.
To the throne room tonight?
Amen.
The door's wide open.
Right.
Revelation 4 says that I looked and lo, there was a door opened in heaven.
Right. Amen.
There's a door open to you and I. He said, I open a door, no man can shut it.
Right.
For we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And now go with me quickly. Well, on your way over to chapter 4, I think we should stop off in chapter 3 just to pick up something there. I think it's in verse 5. And with your permission, I'm going to read it in another translation. Ephesians 3, 5. There has never been a generation. We just had a once in a generation storm pass through the United States. But listen to this scripture. There has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of this glorious and divine mystery until now.
Amen.
He has kept it a secret until this generation. And God is revealing it only now to His secret apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. And here's the secret. I like it, Paul. This is a secret. I'm going to tell you. You want to know what it is? Here it is. Here's the secret. The gospel of grace has been made to you non-Jewish believers into co-heirs of His promise through your union with Him. And you have now become members of His body and one with the Anointed One.
Amen.
You're part
Amen.
Of Christ. Listen, I have to tell myself this every day. Do you know yourself after the flesh? Oh God. Man, please. I know my track record. But you cannot let your track record define you. We don't know any man after the flesh. That means you better start with you first. Forget about who you were and start looking into the mirror of the Word of God. And see what God had. The Word of God. It says we, through faith, over in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Can I ask you a question tonight? What's framing your world? Is it your last failure? Is it your last argument with your wife or your husband or your children? Or whatever the case may be, what you know about yourself and the goods the accuser is always faithful to remind you of. Or are you being framed by the Word of God? Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but God's Word will not pass away. He is framing your world with His Word. Okay, we're going over to Ephesians 4. I thought that was so good. It would have been terrible to pass over it. I want to go to verse 8 and get right into the meat of what I want to say here and get out of here. Let's look at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And I've known this scripture for a long, long time and have talked about it, but I'm seeing it different than I ever have it. This is speaking to me. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive. And right there, we could just stop for a second, Mike, and realize that that's got to give somebody hope in here tonight. Because maybe I'm the only one that have had areas of my life that were in captivity. That in my life, there have been things that have been life-controlling problems. But I want you to know that when He ascended up on high, He led that captivity captive. And I'm here to tell you tonight the good news and to trumpet in your ears that this Savior that's ascended on high has led the captivity that you may find yourself in captive. And He's the one that sets the captives free.
That's right.
And your freedom tonight is found in Him. You may think that that life-controlling problem is never going to end. But I'm here to tell you that it will end. If you continue to grow in Christ, if you let the Word of God frame you, that will no longer keep you captive.
Yeah.
and control your life.
Hallelujah.
There's freedom.
Yeah.
There's liberty.
Yes.
To proclaim liberty.
Yes.
To the captives.
Hallelujah.
Man, I know the battle that we go through. I know the struggles that we go through. Sometimes our minds are so bombarded, we go to the doctor and he says, "You feeling down? Here, take this."
Yeah.
And you know, maybe that's okay as a band-aid. Maybe that's okay. Maybe you need that to bridge you over. But I'm here to tell you, that's not the answer.
Right. Amen. That's right.
You have a life growing inside of you. A life that is so vibrant, that is so powerful, that it blew a stone off of a grave that it took several men to roll over.
Amen.
And whatever your captivity might be tonight, medication is not what will blast that stone away. But the power that you carry, the power that worketh within you, is what will take care of it.
Yes.
He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts to men.
Yeah.
Now that He ascended, and I want to talk about this for a second because it just really got me. Now that He ascended, what is it? But that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And I've gone over that. I've read that and I've gone over it and I thought, wow, that's okay. And I went on and talked about the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
But there's something there for you and I tonight. And if you just give me a few minutes, if you go with me to Philippians chapter 2. And verse 5 is where I'd like to start. And this is so familiar, but please pretend like this is the first time you've ever heard it.
Right.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, when I used to read that, I would think, well, it means to allow. But if you look at that word let, it's the Greek word pronio, which actually means to exercise something that you already have.
Yeah.
It's not you allowing that mind to be in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him?" But we have what? The mind of Christ, so you have it. It's one thing to have something. It's another thing to use it. And can I tell you that if you use your mind, even in the natural, it becomes sharper.
Sure.
People play Sudoku and what is that how you call it? What's the name of it? They do stuff, to crossword puzzles to keep their mind sharp. But I'm here. The reason they do that is because whatever you exercise becomes stronger. Exercise the mind that was in Christ, which is also in you.
Thank you, Lord.
Use it. You've only got one mind. You've only got one soul. But there's two directions it can go. One brings life and the other brings death.
Yeah.
To be carnally minded, for the soul to go in the direction of the carnal is death.
Hallelujah.
But you see, that's not the only option you have. You have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Use it. Exercise
yes.
it.
Yes.
There's a lot that could be said about that, and I won't go there tonight. Now listen to this concerning Him. I want you to think about Him tonight. Who being in the form of God.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I know people have problems. I've heard different things about people having problems with the divinity of Jesus before the... I don't know. It just says He was in the form of God, and I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Because I mean, I see it there. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being equal with God was not something that He had to get by hook or crook. It was His by inheritance.
That's right.
But He made Himself of no reputation. That is the word kenosis. It means that He emptied Himself.
Right.
And He took upon Him the form of a servant. And listen, He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because He did all this.
Right.
I mean, if we took the time to go over into Isaiah 14, you'll find there were five things that Lucifer did that got him cast down. There were five things here that Jesus did that got him exalted. Whoever exalts himself shall be abased, but whosoever humbles himself will be exalted. It's a principle in God's universe tonight. Wherefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name.
Hallelujah.
Can I tell you tonight, the Scripture says over in Revelation chapter 3 that Jesus has a new name. in the beginning, He was pure God. He was in the form of God. But He took upon Himself humanity. The Holy Spirit overshadowed a virgin and seed of Abraham, life and partaker of the divine nature came into one creation. When He ascended, He didn't leave that humanity here. He was the first of the firstborn. He was the first God-man. He took that humanity with Him, and seated tonight at the right hand of God is a God-man, is a man. There's only one mediator, hello, between God and man. The man. Christ Jesus. And why would He do that? Because by man came death. And by man came the resurrection from the dead. He's the one that brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And right now, there is a man. Stephen said, and it really upset the Jews. Really upset those that were listening, including the Apostle Paul, before his conversion. I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the power of God. And they couldn't take it. And they ran and gnashed upon Him with their teeth and stoned Stephen, calling upon God. First of all, let me give you some advice. If you're ever in an argument with someone and their face starts to shine like an angel, turn and go the other way. But here's the thing. Over in Revelation, I think it's chapter 3, verse 27, something like that. To him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him. You know, you carry a DNA that has a written code in it. And that many of the things that you do, your hair color, your propensities and different things come from the writing that's within you. When he says he's going to write his law in your hearts and in your mind, he's putting it in the very DNA, in the warp and the woof of who you are in him.
Amen.
I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and I will write upon him my new name. A name, a character that's above every other name. That's your calling. That's your invitation. He didn't want to have it by himself. He wanted, Father, the glory that you have given me, I give to them. He's the first of many.
Yes.
That's your calling tonight, friends. And can I just be honest with you that in the past, when I look at that concerning overcoming, I just get in a cold sweat. Because I'd look at myself and I'm like, you're not doing so hot. This may not be in your future. This promise. Can anybody relate? But you know, then I started reading the Word and I understood, what is the victory that even our faith, our trust, and then he goes on, 1 John, we got to go there, 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen.
So you think, well, am I born of God? Well, I don't know. We got to let the Word of God define the Word of God. Verse 1 in chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
To as many as receive Him are born of God.
Amen.
And whatsoever is born of God overcomes. And you look at yourself and you say, but I'm not overcoming. I still have, maybe in some areas I am, but there may be some areas in your life that maybe you're not overcoming. Just keep growing.
Right.
I write unto you little children. 1 John chapter 2. Because your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
I write unto you fathers because you know Him.
Yeah.
who was from the beginning. You've got an insight into His plan, His purpose from before the foundation. You know Him who's from the beginning. But I write unto you, young men, why? Because you are strong. The Word of God abides in you and you've overcome the wicked one. Just keep growing. Overcoming is in your DNA. Just keep growing. Just keep yielding. If you fall down, what do? Somebody tell me what you do. You get back up. And what do? You keep walking on with your Father. And you keep growing and you keep trusting. And as you continue to do that and Christ is fully formed in you, you can't help but manifest what's in you. Oh, I got to hurry up. I'm taking too long here. All right. Let's go back, overcomers, to chapter 4. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting. And I would like to read this in the Amplified. In verse 11, and His gifts were varied. He Himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors and shepherds of His flock and teachers. His intention. You want to know what God's about today? What's His intention? His intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints. Why? His consecrated people, that they should do the work of the ministering toward the building up of Christ's body, the church. In verse 13, I'll jump back over to King James. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature or perfect man. That this man, this new man that He spoke about, this new man who is the theme of Ephesians, might grow up in maturity. And what does that look like? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. Right. You know, it's one thing to be a child and we can rejoice with children. But there's another thing about, you know, there's got to be a difference between being a child and just being a dwarf. And you know how you become a dwarf? Is that you don't utilize the fivefold ministry for what it's intended. It's intended to equip you for your work of the ministry. And so many times, ministries have got this thing, Brother Sam had it right, the ministry is only there to work themselves out of a job. But sometimes the people themselves don't want to pay the price to take advantage of the access that's been given to them into the very presence of God. And they, like the children of Israel, tell the ministry, like the children of Israel told Moses, you go up the mountain, you hear from God, and you come and tell us what He said. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you tonight, I'm not going up the mountain for you. This ministry is not going up the mountain for you. You've been given access to the top of that mountain. You've not come to a mountain that can be touched. You've come to Mount Zion, and you've been given access. You go up, you talk to Him, and you let Him equip you for your work of the ministry. This ministry is not here to have a surrogate relationship. You know, I wouldn't talk like this to babies. But I'm talking to people that have been in this move of God for decades. I've talked to young people that have grown up in this, that were born in this move of God, that have lived all their lives in this move of God. The fivefold ministry will pass away, and it won't just be like... It may pass away in your life sooner than it does your brother's. It depends upon maturity. It will still be needed where there's immaturity. But tonight, I expect better things of us that have been in this thing for decades. You have access. All of this has been given to you. Didn't Paul say to the Corinthians, I write to you Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, because the grace of God is all over you guys. You are so enriched by Him. You've been called by God into fellowship with His Son. You come behind in no gift, but then He tells them that they're babies. And all that God had deposited to them, and we had just focused on the fact that they're babies. Aren't you thankful for 2 Corinthians?
Yes.
We say Ephesians and Colossians are deep books, but I'm here to tell you 1 and 2 Corinthians are chucked full of kingdom mysteries and food for the new man. Because they didn't stay there. Thank God for chapter 2 in your life and in mine. Oh yeah. Well, there you go. Somebody's happy, okay. That henceforth, somebody say that means from now on, we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which what? Every joint supplies. Are you going to sit there and look at me and be a consumer the rest of your spiritual life until you die and go to heaven? Are you going to be a consumer or are you going to be a supplier? The ministry is only here to equip you for your work of the ministry so that you can no longer be just a consumer, but that you can be a supplier. Paul goes on and he says the same thing to the Hebrews. For the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Amen. Because strong meat belongs to those that have grown up. Milk is something you get when somebody else eats. I've got a three and a half month old grandbaby, yeah. Granddaughter. Harlow's her name. I'll show you pictures later. And she's on the milk. Yeah. Mommy eats, mommy digests it, and then Harlow gets it. You can't keep living on that which comes through somebody else.
Right.
There comes a time, you know, who shall he teach doctrine? Whom shall he make to understand? Those that are weaned from the milk, those that are drawn from the breast. That we be no more children, but that we be suppliers. According to the effectual working, what? In the measure, what? Of every part. Maketh increase of the body unto itself. I don't want the legacy of this move to be, well, they had a wonderful ministry and we had wonderful conventions. No. I got to tell you, I've worked myself out of a job in the life of my son and my daughter. And many of you parents have done the same thing. And if you haven't, shame on you. And this ministry is working themselves out of a job so that the legacy will be a man, a new man, standing in full maturity. And what creation is waiting for is a people singing the Kainos song, a new song. Singing the song of the Kainos. Having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell upon the earth of a new kind of man. Of a new day. Why is it so urgent? Look around you, friends. Did you ever think that the mystery of iniquity would accelerate the way it has in our world? It's time for the manifestation of the sons of God in maturity. It's time, and God is about to put in the sickle and bring a harvest. From the seed that fell into the ground and died. Getting some amens from somewhere there, I'm not sure. I just got an amen from Siri. Google's a little slow, but that's all right. Isaiah chapter 13. And verse 9, I've just got a couple of more scriptures for you and I'm going to close. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. God is going to end this current orderly arrangement, friends. And He shall destroy the sinners out of it, For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And I will make a man. When all that's going on, in the middle of all that, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Isaiah 32. I'll read this in the Amplified. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. Each one of them, King James says, in a man, but I like this. Each one of them shall be like a hiding place from the wind, and a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry place. Didn't Jesus say, he that believeth in me, he that trusteth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And doesn't it say in Ezekiel, I think chapter 36, that from under the threshold of the house, these waters would flow from this house. Hello, house of God. It's a man in one place, it's a house in another, built upon the foundations. And that the waters would go down into the desert. Wherever the waters would go, there would be healing. And life would be brought forth. It's coming out of this new man. A hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry place. Like the shade of a great rock in a weary land. To those who to turn to them. And then the eyes of those who see will not be closed or dim. And the ears of those who hear will listen. God's going to open the eyes and open the ears of all to see and hear.
Thank you, Lord.
It says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, King James says we shall, but the literal says this, as we have borne the image of the earthy, let us. Let us bear the image of the heavenly.
Yes.
Friends, tonight it is your birthright. Amen.